scored the game winner in game two versus Boston. Number four, Carl Gunnarsson.
I didn't know what to expect when I got here. Team-wise, St. Louis was top team in the West. Had no issues going to the playoffs. It was great for me to come to a winning team.
Here's Gunnarsson, and a shot, and he scores! Gunnarsson!
It's been 10 years in the works here, but you never know when the chance is going to come.
To O'Reilly, to Gunnarsson, he scores! Boom, boom, Gunnarsson!
That's how you win a Stanley Cup. You need guys like that to come through.
And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
It's been nice to be part of that group that pushed it even further and took that last step.
So the great highlights from Carl Gunnarsson's time here in St. Louis, his career, and of course, the biggest moment of all, which came in game two of the Stanley Cup, where he sunk the game-winning shot in overtime to even up that series against the Bruins. One that, of course, led to the entire Blues, including Carl Gunnarsson, hoisting up the Stanley Cup. And now joining us via the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line is Carl Gunnarsson, who announced today that he is retiring from the game he loves, and he penned a letter, goodbye to the game I love, which you can check out on the Blues official website. And it, Carl, first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Jamie Rivers, Brad Thompson, and Anthony Stalter, what an emotional piece to read. I can't imagine what it was like for you to write that after announcing your retirement today.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's tough to put something down on paper like that, but I thought it'd be a little nice thing to do, and felt great to get it out there. And yeah, people seem to appreciate it, and felt that it was a good little piece. So just happy about that, and I'll feel good about the decision right now too.
Gunny, we'll get into that in a second here. You and I texted this morning just briefly, and I wanted to bring it up in front of the guys, just how excited you are at the possibility of being my partner in alumni games from now on.
Yeah, right? That's going to cost you a little bit there, is
it? Wait, Gunny, you didn't hear that we have the rookie dinner for guys that are new to the alumni, too, and all us old guys go out, we run up the tab on you.
Yeah, just... you guys go out while I'm in Sweden. I'll pay the tab, and then I'll come over. We'll do it later, all right?
So we get two rookie dinners. I love it. I like yours better.
Yeah, it's good. No, I'd love to be a part of that. Like the alumni you guys got here in town, that's one of the best. So happy to be part of that.
Yeah, Gunny, look, you had an amazing career. And I talked to these guys in our first segment. Just said, 12 years goes by, and Carl Gunnarsson, you think back and go, man, what a career for this guy. Started in Toronto, and I know you've talked about it a couple of times already, one in your piece, and then earlier with the Zoom with some of the local media and stuff. But, what was that transition like for you going from the Toronto market, which is that's crazy in a good way and a bad way all at the same time, and then coming to St. Louis to where you talked about, they're a contender and they're a good team, but it's just a different vibe altogether.
Yeah, totally different cities, different teams at the time. Came in pretty young to Toronto, struggling team, which was perfect for me. Got a ton of ice time and a ton of confidence from the coaches. And then they decided to switch things up, get to St. Louis. Toronto, we were struggling to get into playoffs. We made it once in my 5 years there. And then I get to St. Louis, and I remember one of the guys just said when I got there, yeah, we'll get 100 points. We'll get into the playoffs. And then we just got to make sure we, push a little further than the last couple of years to get through. I'm like, oh, man, what a different mentality. They know they're going to, in the West, everyone's talking about how tough the West was. But here I am on a team that, they're super confident in making the playoffs. And then from there, like taking the next steps. So, totally different mentality on the teams, which is, an eye opener for me. I hadn't seen anything else in Toronto, and it was just a struggle every year to even make the playoffs. So it was cool. It was a cool change, nice to be part of an organization with that kind of, confidence that we got a good team and we're a contender almost every year. It was fun.
I know that you haven't had much time to really reflect on your career at this point. You have the rest of your life to do stuff like that. But when you like try to think about it right now, you think about your rookie season, right? Breaking in with Toronto, 09, 2010, to the last couple of years. Talk about the mentality change, right, from Toronto to the Blues of what the expectations were. But what about from, like, a personal standpoint? Like, throughout your career, where do you think you grew the most? Like, what aspect of your game or your personality grew the most from your rookie year until this past year?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, when I wasn't even 100% sure I was going to sign with Toronto. They gave me a deal, and I was debating it for a long time. I just had a regular spot on my team in the SHL there in Sweden. And, you know, that was like, I want to really make it in this league. And then I got an offer. I'm like, okay. So eventually I signed it. And my mind was, you know, set on going to play in the AHL and do my best there. Maybe get a little shot. Ended up real quick, you know, had like 10, 12 games down in the minors and then got called up. And from there on, you know, just stuck with the team. So I think that, you know, that year was great for me. And then obviously, you know, some ups and downs, but that year for sure was a big part of it. I think I grew a lot there and just learned about what it takes to make it in the big league. And then after that, coming to St. Louis was also a big step in a different way, but, I think those first couple of years in Toronto where just had a ton of ice time, ton of confidence from the coaches just kind of brought me to a good level. And then coming to St. Louis, which had a different system, different, you know, vibe and mentality, taught me that side of the game too. More of a winning kind of mentality. So I wouldn't say like one step, you add them all together, but those two things I think was big for me over here.
We're talking with Carl Gunnarsson, former Blues defenseman, announcing his retirement today. Gunny, the one story that everybody loves to talk about, and I know you've talked about it a bunch, but we just got to hear it right from you, is the Boston Bruins overtime winner. I know you and Chief ended up in the bathroom at the same time. Walk us through that story, because I think it's just an awesome story, and for the fact that, you know, it's you that scores the big goal, and you called your shot, buddy. I mean, what else can you ask for, right?
Yeah, what are the odds for that? Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about that. I got a Pistons story tied to my name, which is, you know, is that good or bad? I don't know. But it adds to the whole thing with the cup run we had. And, you know, we were playing game two there in Boston. I had a great chance, rang one off the post late in the third. And, in the intermission going into overtime was, you know, taking the piston, there's Chief just like, yeah, that was a close one. I just need one more. And, you know, I mean, that was my first goal in the playoffs. And I was thinking about that too. So, everything happens so quick. Guys come hug on the ice and then do some interviews after, walk into the locker room. And they caught that on video when Chief is doing the speech after. And, you know, he brings that up. And if he didn't bring that up, I would have totally forgot about it. Not cross my mind that I said something like that. So he made it into a story, you know, which is true, but he kind of brought that out there and made it a thing. And then, you know, it's pretty weird to have a story like that. But like I said, it adds to the whole thing during our cup run there in 2019. Just one little puzzle piece, kind of a fun little anecdote to have too. It's kind of cool.
Did he laugh at that time?
We're at the pisser?
Yeah. Yeah. When you said that, I mean, it's kind of a...
Well, Anthony,
it's a dry,
I don't know if he wants him laughing at him at the pisser.
It's a dry remark. I mean, I didn't know if he laughed right then.
No, I don't think so. It's just like, yeah, whatever. You know, I just need one more chance. And then we were done, like, got out of there. It wasn't more than that, I think, you know. Can't remember it all, but
because he burst into laugh. That's the hardest I've ever heard Chief laugh when he's telling that story to you guys in the locker room after the game. Like, he burst into laughter there. I mean, he knew it was one of those moments. So that's incredible.
Yeah, he knew that was going to stick. It is, like, you look at it, it's a funny story, and I appreciate him bringing that up. And he got caught on video too. It's pretty funny.
Carl, so that's one of our favorite moments, of course, is you scoring the game winner in OT in game two. when you think back, as you mentioned, there's so many highlight moments throughout the course of the Cup run. Is there a moment for you that throughout, again, that postseason that really stands out? Besides lifting the Cup, of course.
Yeah, no, there's a ton of stuff, you know, that when you think back, there's a ton of stuff that goes into that whole Cup run. And, you know, the Gloria song that, you know, everyone knows, Lila, which we got on our rings and all that. But then there's also the small stuff, you know, we had Jake Allen backing up and Binner was on a run. So Jakey did everything he could to help the team. He even, you know, we scouted their goalies, of course, and he even acted out as their goalies in practice for us to see what their weaknesses were. I mean, just doing a thing like that, it kind of sticks out too, because, you know, you can be pissed about, you know, not playing games and being the backup or being scratched or whatever it might be. But just doing that for the team was just something that kind of, you know, that stands out too. And not a lot of people know that. It's not going to be one of those stories that, you know, make the headlines, but that one sticks out among others. But just for Jakey to do that for the team, that was, you know, shows what kind of guy he is.
Gunny, you talk about being a good teammate, and look, you made your career off being a good teammate and a you know, role guy in the locker room, a good leader. As you look back now, or as you look forward rather, would you like to stay in the game of hockey? Would you like to get into coaching, scouting, maybe player development, you know, work on maybe some of the skill stuff with guys moving forward? Does this appeal to you, or is it still kind of too soon to think about that?
No, it's, you know, I've been thinking about it, but I'll for sure have a connection to hockey in some point. And, you know, I don't know when or how, but in the future for sure somehow. But right now, just, you know, I think I need a little time off from hockey, and I think it's gonna hit me a little bit harder too when the season starts. Maybe feel that itch, you know, guys are getting back on the ice. But yeah, I also feel like this was the right decision. But it might be hard not playing this fall, you know, just being used to it for so long. So gonna take a little time off and just cool with hockey, and then we'll see. I'm not closing any doors, and that, you know. I love developing, like working with younger players, younger kids, you know, always used to do that in the summers back home, a little bit of help out on the hockey schools and that. And that's very, very rewarding. So, love that part of the game. Yeah.
Gunny, how is your knee these days? Because we talk about the retirement and all that. And I know that, you know, a long time ago we had chatted just through text, and I'm just wondering, how's your knee and how are you feeling physically right now?
Yeah, physically, except the knee, I'm fine. You know, it is what it is. Just had surgery on it, so still working on the rehab, and we'll be fine. I'm just on pace for where I should be, but it's going to take a little time. Probably, you know, a couple more months, and then would have been good to go again. But yeah, it's a long road, so just plugging away with the rehab here, and it's going to be fine, I'm sure.
I was just thinking about all of the relationships. Look, my whole life since I was little, I played baseball, and all the relationships that I built throughout the years, and pretty much, like, that's all my friends now, is all these relationships that I have. And I'm thinking about you and going home and stepping away from the game that you love and you played so long. Dude, do you have any friends that aren't from hockey? I mean, you played since you were probably five years old. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, it's weird, right? It's been all my life. I mean, I have a few friends back home that never played or got nothing to do with hockey, but most of them, yeah, played at some point, you know, up till their 20s, and then, you know, I had to quit for different reasons, but that's how it is. And now it's going to change, whether it's, you know, if I stay in hockey, but it's going to be, you know, making new friends, maybe in different, like, areas, maybe a different profession. If I go into something else, you just gotta, you know, it'll be fun too. It'll be interesting to see how that works. But yeah, it's all connected. Everyone I know is like connected to hockey, and I know them through hockey, and that's been my whole life.
Aside from your family, obviously you have a passion for your family, young family, and being dad is going to be job number one. Like, do you have a passion for something else? Is there something, are you going to be golfing every weekend? I mean, what is life going to look like?
Well, I'll try to pick up golf. You know, I've never been a golfer, but I'll try to pick that up once my knee's healthy. I love playing tennis. New thing now, back like in Europe, paddle tennis, and it won't be the same like over here. I don't know what you guys would call that. I've never seen it in the U.S. Nah, it's kind of a mix between racquetball and tennis. You got two guys going at each other over a net.
Sounds like a great drinking game.
Yeah, right. But it is fun, though. Like, you get some good rallies going, and it's this sport's exploding in Europe right now. Sweden is crazy about it. So, you know, just it'd be nice to get healthy and do that with friends, play some tennis. But other than that, like, having something that I want to get into, I don't know. I could, you know, go back in the school bench, do some education stuff, and I don't know. We'll see what door is going to be open for me here. But just take the first couple months here just to relax a bit and think about it. And then we'll see.
Yeah, Gunny, look, take a couple of months, buddy. You've had an incredible career, a great run. Enjoy retirement with the family and the kids and all that stuff you're going to be doing. Good luck with the rehab. And if you ever want to get back into the skills coach, whatever, I've always got a spot for you. Come on, help me out. I still got your Gunny's playlist so that we can help.
Yeah, that's right. Appreciate that.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great retirement. We'll see you soon. And don't be a stranger, my friend.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.